Welcome to the Scottish Football Coaching Podcast, taking you around the country, shedding light on the work of the Scottish FA from grassroots to coach development, and taking a look at the future of our game.
In this episode, your host Lewis Irons sits down with Head of Football Development Andy Gould, Head of Coach Education and Development Greg Patterson, and Scotland Under-17s and Scottish FA JD Performance School Manager Brian McLaughlin. Gentlemen, returned from across the pond. You all look full of life here and ready to talk about how it was out in the States for the United Soccer Coaches Convention. Brian, your first time there. How was it for you? It must have been a great experience.
It was. I've known about it for years, so for me, I've always been wanting to go and see it. This year, luckily enough, Andy and Greg asked me to go along with them, with Malky, and to see it for the first time. So I had an idea what I thought it was. But it wasn't until I got there that I actually realised it's way bigger than that. You know, the amount of people there was incredible over the space of 3 or 4 days. All obsessed with football, all looking to try and gather a little bit of knowledge on something, on any specific field. I think for a coach and somebody else that we all love football, that was heartening to see. So for me it was great. Unfortunately it was so busy, which I'm sure we'll talk about as we go along here. You didn't quite get to see some of the stuff I was wanting to see, but it was... It's an incredible event. And like I said, I was delighted to go, really.
Andy, correct me if I'm wrong, 11,000 people through the door.
Yeah, it's an incredible number, 11,000 people through the doors of the convention centre, all to go and develop themselves as coaches. So this is my third time. The second time last year I was in Chicago, this year in Baltimore, and 16 years ago when I was with Rangers, so it's incredible really to see all those coaches go to that, out their way to go and develop themselves and improve themselves. So, you know, and as Brian said, we've seen things this time. I've seen things differently this year than I did last year, and again, you know, we'd like to go back and pick up things that we didn't get a chance to see because there is so much going on. So it's an incredible, you know, machine I think that they've created. People who just gravitate, it's a bit like Mecca, you know, really, from that point of view. Coaches all from, you know, the game's perspective just want to be there. They thrive on these conversations and hearing and seeing what's going on in the game and trying to get best practice. So it really is it's a sight to behold.
Yeah, probably too much for you to all take in. Like you say, you need to go back, you know, the amount of times. I can see you scribbling down notes because there's probably too much you want to get in from it, Greg, as well.
I'm just trying to scribble down exactly, I suppose, our purpose and the various kind of facets, the reasons why we were there. But as Andy and Brian both alluded to, there's the convention itself has got so much of an offering that I'm almost ashamed to say, but I never got a chance. Yeah. I never actually got a chance to walk through the doors of another lecture theatre, another meeting room to see what other activity was going on, because we were so, I suppose it was good that we were so embedded in the convention itself this year that just never got that opportunity to go and look at other stuff because we were offering so much input ourselves. And in between such times, you've also got an awful lot of meetings because we've got that exposure out there, which is great, courtesy of United Soccer Coaches, that, you know, there's so many meetings set up as well to keep things kind of ticking over from that regard as well.
I'm sure you had your own expectations before going out, Brian, but what was it like for you when you were out there? What was involved for you? Talk us through your experience of it.
Well, I think it probably took me 48 hours to actually realise what was happening, because many times I said to the guys, I just kept walking about shaking my head saying, I can't believe this. And we were there obviously a day before it started, and you could feel it building up. So when we actually got to the day when it all really kicked off, you know, it was just perfect. The brand is great, you know, the atmosphere was great. You've got all these football coaches, obsessed coaches, as I said, all in this one area, sharing tales of previous events, sharing, talking about the future as well, but ultimately all there for 3 or 4 days to get better. But for me, like I said, it wasn't to actually realise what's actually happening, the amount of coaches in one area over the course of 3 or 4 days, it really is incredible. And like I said, for me, there were so many areas that you could touch on. You know, a lot of people may just go for the park. There was loads of pitch sessions. Three indoor pitches happening all the time as training sessions going on and going on and going on, different size of pitches. You look at that and you think you could just spend 3 days here alone. Or you then go to the lecture theatres, as Greg mentioned. There was some fantastic theatre, the likes of theatre was going on, but unfortunately you've got to try and prioritise what you want to see, what you want to hear. But like I said, if you're a coach, there's not one thing that you couldn't get over those 3 days. As long as you've got an open mind, as long as you're wanting to listen, work hard, you will get something from the 3 days, as well as having just an unbelievable time.
And I think the challenge for us, which is a good challenge, was that we had a bigger presence this year than last year. So we were on the tools more, we were delivering more, and I'm sure we'll get into that in terms of what we were delivering, but that made it more challenging. And then you've got round about that all the people that just want to have that conversation. So Brian was probably introduced to hundreds of people he's never met before, that he now knows and he'll need to remember for next time. But all of those conversations that are going on, because, you know, when you wear the badge, people want to, they gravitate to you, they want to ask you questions, they want to hear about what's going on back in Scotland and what are the things that are current there as well. So it is that kind of place where you could just spend time with people talking about coaching, about the game. So it was fascinating.
Yeah, and we'll get into, like you say, our role out there as a Scottish FA. But Andy, you particularly must have seen such a huge development. I think, you know, when you speak about the fact you were there 16 years ago to now, that the development and the way it's grown, I'm sure, must have been quite staggering to see.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think the format is very similar. Yeah. So what they want to try and achieve, there's the mix of practical sessions, which are good, and then there are the mix of theoretical sessions and the classroom-based sessions. So that's still the same. The scale of it has definitely grown. The way in which they share and connect and they market everything has definitely grown and improved. You can see other elements to it now with all the podcasts going on and all the kind of social side. That's definitely bigger. Yeah. So it has grown. It has developed. There's an exhibition side to it, which has grown exponentially as well. Of course, there are so many different products that people can get access to now, whether that's for, you know, analysing the game, whether that's for playing the game. There are just so many things going on. So, you know, the amount of time you could spend in that building is just incredible. But it has really moved on from the time 16 years ago that we were there to promote what was a kind of soccer school programme. It's incredible.
And then Andy touches on our presence growing as well. Yeah. This year must have been, again, and we probably will expect that to hopefully continue as well.
Well, expect to continue, absolutely. The world gets smaller, really, doesn't it, in terms of, you know, we get so many people coming through. We're fortunate that so many people come through our UEFA licence courses, so it's a great chance for us to go over there and offer CPD opportunities. And that's one of the things we did. So Brian mentioned earlier that, you know, we arrived that day earlier, and that first day we were there, we delivered CPD to Scottish coaches that are currently over there working. And I say Scottish coaches, they weren't all Scottish per se, they didn't all have a Scottish accent, but what they have done is they've graduated, if you like, from our, you know, Scottish FA, UEFA, B licence, A licence, youth licence, whatever it may be. So it's a great opportunity for us, given that if you're kind of actively working in the game in America, chances are you're then likely to attend that USC convention. So it's a great idea for us, I think, to go there a day early, as Brian said, and meet with that group and do some CPD. So the guys, Andy, Malky and Brian, all did some, you know, some input on that first day to give them that CPD that they need to keep their licences active. So that was just kind of one of the things we did on that first day.
That must be huge for the guys out there, Brian, to have that connection with you guys out there, the Scottish coaches that need to continually grow and develop and have that actual connection with you guys out there.
I think it was great for us. Yeah. I think on day one, so, you know, you're there, it's not really started yet, but then you go to the room and you've got all these Scottish coaches there, or certainly coaches that's been over here recently in the last few years. Mm-hmm. And because the group then was smaller, you can really get to know the coaches, and yeah, you're there and you're trying to educate each other. Because but just getting to know these people in one-on-ones was really, really good as well. There are a lot of proud Scottish people over there who want to get better, who want to develop our game, our brand, and just us sharing what we're now trying to do here. I know we're going to speak about this later on, but just sharing what we're trying to do here. It was good to share it with them, get their opinion on it, you know, get their feedback on it. But ultimately, it's just that one of just, we're just trying to grow everything for the better, for the better, and having that real time on day one. We must have been with the guys, I don't know, what, 6-7 hours were we? It was a full, you know, it's a full day. Yeah. And then ultimately, you've done the full day, we were then thinking, okay, we've seen them now, that's us done that. But then every time any sport in the next 2 days, you turn around and there's money to come, they want to get more. So clearly whatever we said on day one, they must have enjoyed, or they were certainly intrigued enough to find out a bit more detail. And that's what we tried to do over the 3 days. Yeah. For every lecture theatre that we gave, it was just a bit of detail, a wee bit more detail, and just what our big plan is just now. Yeah. So it was, I really enjoyed getting to know the guys, really enjoyed it.
I'm sure there's so much preparation that goes into going out to something like this, Andy, and I guess you must, did you return more than happy with how it all went out there with the delivery?
Feedback was very good. I think, the as Brian said, we were able to be very interactive, and I think that's the way we want to try and be and create the right learning environment. So as Greg talked about this with CPD, to provide them with an opportunity to, you know, ensure they've got enough hours to retain their UEFA licence. But more than that, I think we want to try and go in deep on a number of topics. So, you know, the first topic was around about the coach themselves and can they understand themselves a little bit more, some of the trends of the game and where the game's going. You know, then we started to look at things like the performance environment and what's that all about and how do you create that performance environment. Some analysis work, you know, so there were some things around about analysis that we looked at as well. So across a 7-hour period, we were able to go in pretty deep and also get them to discuss and debate and share with us, because a lot of them are in different situations. Some of them are working at college, some of them within maybe a youth professional. So what you get is a chance to share within these groups as well, and for us to understand the context of where they're working as a coach as well, and that was good and interesting for us. So yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, because that's when I asked Brian there, Greg, about, you know, how precious that must be for coaches out there to have that CPD and how obviously it's required. But Brian's first thing was, it's huge for us. Do you agree with that?
Huge, absolutely huge for us. You know, in that, just when Andy's talking there as well, I'm trying to think back to who was actually in the room. So you've got guys like Paul Ritchie, you know, a former Scottish international player. You've got guys like Jim Chapman, who's managed Dumbarton and Annan in our leagues here, who are now both actively working in, and that's just two examples, who are now both actively working over in the game in America. So you put them in the mix, as Brian's alluded to, and you put them in the mix and get them chatting with other people who might just be through a B licence with us recently. Yeah. You know, in that learning environment in itself, and it's no different to what we try and do here in Scotland in terms of producing that learning environment. It's just in a different country. We've still got the badge. They're still proud to be hopefully affiliated to that badge, and trying to, I suppose, stay in contact with them. As Brian says, just to try and make things better as we go.
Yeah, and obviously a huge audience, as we touched on earlier on, 11,000 people in there. It's not just the Scottish coaches, it's everyone that's descended upon there that can bounce off each other.
And I think that was one of the things that surprised me, even when we're walking around in the seminar. There's 11,000 people there, but as we're walking around with our Scottish tracksuits on, people are always noticing you walking. People want to come and ask you stuff. I think we sometimes forget in our small country that our badge is strong, especially when it comes to coach education. And shouldn't surprise me, but you probably forget. So again, you've got coaches. There weren't any seminars were coming over and asking, when do you speak? I'd love to hear what you are saying. What are you speaking on? When are you going again? And at times we're like, sorry, we're not doing anything now. That's all finished or whatever. I can't get that time. But there's a genuine interest that they want to hear what's happening in coach education, particularly in Scotland. And we forget that. Now, we're there to obviously service our own coaches, but like I said, you know, why not, you know, talk ourselves
up. I think also that they understood that us providing that presence shows that we do care.
Yeah.
And I think you get a lot of that back from them as well, that they are both proud of the Scottish badge and the heritage, but they also know that us, the four of us coming across to work and support them, we do definitely show that we care about them. So I think that's a big, big part of it as well. And that's a big part about, I think, a reputation from a coach education point of view, that it's all about people. Huge part of it is about people and your skills, being able to impart messages and get knowledge across. So that's a big part of it.
I think Brian's been humble as well. You know, he talks about the majority of it being about coach education. It's not necessarily, because when Brian goes up to talk about performance schools or what he's doing with international squads, then people are interested in that, whether they're Scottish or American. And that's when Andy's thing there kicks in about, it's about our interaction then with different people. And of course that then elicits a two-way conversation. So Brian and Andy and myself and Malky will all learn from an American geezer who's just decided to walk in the room at that point in time because he's maybe seen on an agenda or an app that Brian's maybe going to spend an hour chatting through what performance school's all about. So that all of a sudden, you know, that interests people. How do they do? How do they deal with performance schools? How do they deal with international teams in Scotland? And is there anything, you know, we can learn from that?
Yeah. So you said you were a bit surprised by that. What makes you surprised by it? Was it just the sense that it's such a grand thing over there? That
you I think, you know, if you're a coach in that seminar room, like I said, there's maybe 1,000 things happening at any one time. Yeah. So your attention could go anywhere you want, from the stalls to look at football equipment to the training pitch where someone could be doing a futsal session, yeah, or a lecture theatre, which could be on anything from analysis to psychology to whatever. So really, all the interest is there, but just when we're walking around, people want to know what we're doing. People are wanting to know, what are Scotland doing just now? They want to come and ask you questions, they want to come and listen. And like I said, I think we were wanting to share our time, which unfortunately for us, or fortunately for us, we did share our time. And that meant we couldn't go and see some of the seminars that we wanted to see personally, because we're there to learn as well.
Of course.
You know, I wanted to go and listen to some seminars as well, because that's why I'm there. But we shared our time with people. The hospitality we got was fantastic. You know, how organised this event is incredible, how to organise an event. So we felt as if we were wanting to share our time. We wanted to do that, and we enjoyed doing that. But it's just that surprised me. It's just that genuine interest in what we're doing here.
Yeah. And that hospitality that Brian mentioned, that's thanks to Ian Barker, and that's who we've kind of built this working relationship with in recent years. And Ian's the head of coaching education with the USC, but he's got a huge team behind him, guys like Jeff and Erica, who all looked after us fantastically well. And there's that kind of reciprocal agreement, I think, that, you know, they recognise that hopefully we're bringing something to the convention by the four of us having that presence. And kind of, you know, and of course it helps them in a regard as well, because our, you know, us being there and putting on CPD events hopefully brings them some custom as well. And, you know, somebody's coming on that day zero, if you like, because the convention hasn't quite started, to the CPD event, they might just say, oh, you know what, I'll stay about for a couple of days. And in actual fact, it did happen. Yeah. Boy, Richie Sutherland, I remember, I'm just going to stay for another couple of days, I'm going to crash with him, I'll buy a ticket for the convention tomorrow, and before you know it, you see him a couple of days later. I thought you were going home. I just decided to stay because such and such was on about psychology or analysis or whatever, and I'm just going to stay about and watch it. So that's just the way it is.
I'm sure if you asked everyone there, they would have wanted it to keep going on and going on, because like you said at the top of this, Andy, you scratch the surface, there's so much more that you probably would have wanted to take from it, I'm sure.
You do, and I guess that's probably the challenge for the coaches, because there is so much going on, they really need to plot their way through that 4 days quite carefully, I would have thought, because at any one time, any one slot, there could be 8 or 9 different events, whether that's practical sessions, whether that's theory sessions, whether that's I want to see in the exhibition, or I've actually got meetings. So what coaches will do in this instance is they'll probably look at, I want to see something on the pitch, I need to see this lecture, but I need to have some meetings with people. Because of the size and scale of America, they use this opportunity to have their meetings, whether that's youth soccer meetings, whatever it may be, they come together. Yeah. So they have to navigate their way through the week quite carefully, I would imagine, or you will end up in day 5 and think, actually, I've maybe not actually achieved what I'd like to achieve. And for us, we'll get back to that. The CPD, the forums that we ran, the other activities throughout the week, and then all those other meetings were much bigger. There was much more to our output than there was previously, which is a really exciting part to it. So we definitely feel like there's been more this time for us with regards to the convention than possible last time. But that's natural, because those conversations last year have led to further, the relationship with Ian has led to more opportunities, and some of the ideas that the guys, in particular Greg, would have had around things like the UEFA licensed coaches who normally might come to Scotland to do some of their coursework, we've been able to meet and do the tracker work with them. You might want to touch on that.
Yeah, so that was USC actually do that for some of their courses, and it was kind of an idea pinch from them, to be honest, as most of these things are. But we met a small group of coaches who are currently going through our UEFA licence courses, and met with them and said, okay, you can't, if you're not coming to Scotland on that day and that day because you're struggling to travel back, then you're going to miss psychology and you're maybe going to miss something on analysis. That seems to be our two examples today, psychology and analysis. So go and find somebody, as Andy says, that kind of go and track your way through the next 2 or 3 days. Yeah. and go and speak to, or go and watch somebody who's going to talk about football psychology, go and talk to some, or listen to somebody that's going to speak about football analysis. But not just that, I don't want you just to go and sit in the room, the back of the room, fold your arms and fall asleep. I actually want you to go and take something from it. So we asked them to kind of think a bit critically about what they were listening to, and then they came in on the Saturday morning. We asked them to come back at 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning.
And they did.
They did, yeah, and fair play to them, and the level of presentations was excellent. You know, so that kind of couple of days learning, hopefully. And again, it's us touching base with people that have invested in our coach education courses. And again, myself, Andy, Malky, Brian, sitting in the back of the room, scribbling away on what they're reporting on. So that learning cycle just continues, yeah.
And that, I thought that bit worked particularly well, yeah, and absolutely. It'll be interesting to get your view on the quality and the standard, because I certainly, like you, thought the standard was really, really good of them reporting back to us. Yeah. The way in which they did it and the insightfulness, and we were able to have a bit of discussion.
I think on the guys that actually did present, first of all, we all know how busy you are for those 3 or 4 days, but they must have been spending the full day looking at seminar, and then late at night trying to put those presentations together. Because when they actually delivered to us, they were excellent. The standard, how they looked was perfect, but for me it was more when they started speaking about the subject that they'd watched. Mm-hmm. And they took questions from us and questions from the group. And they quite happily stood there, gave their opinion on it, what they saw and how they would implement that. And I'll be honest, at that moment in time, I took some points. I'm writing stuff down thinking, okay, I could see that working, I can see the challenges there, but that's not to say you wouldn't do it. And just how humble they were as they presented as well. And in that group, you could quite clearly see that there's a real potential for them as coaches to really progress, because they've clearly showed the work ethic over the last 3 or 4 days. They've asked us great questions over the 3 or 4 days, and then they go and present in front of their peers, which is always difficult to do, especially at 8 o'clock in the morning, which I did one of the days, which is another new experience. But for me, go and deliver at 8 o'clock in the morning and be absolutely ready for it, and then they were there for about an hour and a half.
And they were brilliant. Put into a situation where they were asked to share and not just work on their own, but they worked in threes. Yeah. So they then had to kind of, as a group, come together and prepare to present to the rest of their cohort and to the staff as well. So that was another challenge that was thrown into the mix, and they dealt with it really, really well.
How much can you guys deliver in that sort of period of time? I know it sounds like it might be a lot for someone listening, maybe like, 7 hours, that's a slog, but that, what do you cram into a time like that?
I mean, that was one day, and in that, I think we'd start at 10 and ran through to 4, I think, that day. And, you know, then as you do, you have a little social after it just to catch up with them, you know, as people, as Andy alluded to earlier. So during the 10 to 4 period, you know, as Andy's already mentioned, the first one that Andy did was about them as a coach. Mm-hmm. Malky then got on and spoke about, you know, that route they're going, and do they want to be a manager or a head coach. Brian, remind me, sorry, you then spoke about
the performance environment and probably tried to get into real detail how we've tried to change it at the youth levels. Yeah. You know, how we've actually tried to create this feeling now where we want players that, you'd presume this is just obvious, but we want players that are desperate to come back. And when they're with us now, yeah, we want to win games, yeah, we want to develop as players, but ultimately one of the key things that we now try and create is memories. Yeah. They've got to have good memories, and it was me speaking about how we've created that, what we do, how we've done it, showed us some examples. But as we go through this, we're always asking questions of, there's a challenge that we're all going to face, how would you answer that? They'd come up with theirs, then I would give them our solution, how we tried it. Here was the outcome. And that was great, really getting to know the guys on day one. But we kind of just tried to keep changing the theme almost. Every hour, change the theme.
That's right. And then the
change
last
the voice,
Malky,
change the theme.
We looked at analysis. I'm using that word again, analysis. Andy and Malky looked a bit at the kind of modern day analysis. So Brian's right. That kind of, over that 6 hour period, and take the lunch hour away, if you like, there was an hour and 15 minutes in each of those subjects, and delving into it as best we could.
And making them as interactive
as we can. Yeah, absolutely.
So within round the table, let's have a talk and feedback, some thoughts. Mm-hmm. Because if we're presenting to them all the time, then that can be difficult. Yeah. Goes back to that learning environment. We need to make it interactive so that they can share, and I think that's a big thing they get from it as well.
Yeah. Were you surprised at all, Brian, was there quite a significant difference in approach? Were the guys out there fairly Was this all news to them? Was it very similar? Was it?
Do you know what? It's great. Again, I'd love to sit back after it and maybe more time to actually evaluate with the guys. What did we say? What did they take from it? Because they've got to take some from it, you know. But we've always said this about any in-service you go to or any seminar you go to. It's only good if you take some from it. Yeah. You know, the speaker think he could be great, but he's only great if someone actually sits in the audience and can relate to what he said. Yeah. And either make his own opinion up of it or just go off of yours, and then it's a good in-service or seminar. Certainly speaking to the guys, they were really, really keen. They've all come up with the same challenges, as I said. They've had the same problems that we've had. Our challenges are not problems, our challenges. They've had the same ones. Where it then maybe changes how we've all tried to go and solve the challenge. Some of them have tried other ways, we've tried it this way. And we were completely open, to be fair. You know, you've got Malcolm Mackay up there speaking, who's a performance director, and even talking about real examples when he was managing the top flight. And we were really, really open with the guys. Confidential and it stays in the room, but we were open in any detail. And like I said, we were only giving them what we tried at that moment in time. They may have already tried that and it didn't work, or maybe they would try something different. But that was the great thing about that day in particular with our Scottish coaches. I think they got more detail because we were with them. Like I said, even after it, they were still asking more. As we were trying to get to know the person at the end of the 6 hours or 4 hours, they were still wanting, can I go back and ask you about that again? And you're laughing, thinking, you should have just asked it at the time. But that's human nature, some people don't. But we could stay there for hours and hours and hours and still went over all the things we spoke about, because we covered a lot of subjects it covered. But it was great for us, I really enjoyed it.
I think we definitely picked up things as well though, because if you go back to the tracker, and at the end of that, we had some debates and conversations around whether it was analysis and, you know, some people talking about when they analysed culture, did they see the behaviours in players? We talked about the bench and fitting the bench, and so there was actually some good debates and good conversations that were prompted from the floor, and I think we'll certainly take back and might implement, you know, one that sticks my mind from you is that 19-second one, and, you know, so there was, I think we were able to give them some ideas that they can take back to the context that they're working in, and we'll be able to take some things back from our point of view and apply them and see if they work, and that's what it's all about.
Can you give us an example of one of the things that sticks to you, Andy? You touched on the 19-second thing there and a few things like that. Is there one sort of main example that you were sitting and you went, that's something that sticks out massively to me?
I'm going to go back to that analysis one that Greg keeps talking about, that we keep talking about. But it's an interesting one because from a coach education point of view, using analysis far more. So the bit that I kind of talked about was trying to get coaches to think about themselves and to understand themselves better, and then to understand the environment and their players and the situation that they're in. We started to speak about then, from Brian's point of view, creating that performance environment and what have people done to understand if that environment is working. And so not just turning the camera on yourself as a coach to be able to reflect and see, how do I behave and how do others react to me? But then, do you even consider, when you're doing analysis, do you film the bench? What are the reaction of the players and the other staff like on the bench? Are there things that you can do to deal with that, to tackle that, so that you're all... Now, there might not be one answer, because everybody's working in a different context, but there's something to take from that and try and use and see if it works. And if it works, great. And if it doesn't. And that, we spoke about that a lot. There's no one way. There's only what works, and you've got to try things and use different ideas, and if in your context they work, then take it forward.
Because I always, when I started doing these podcasts, Greg, one of the things that stuck with me particularly was the way you spoke about, you know, constantly learning off coaches, constantly taking nuggets of information from here, there and everywhere. And then there you are over in the States in a room with all these people. There's no better example of...
Well, that's sharing. Just when Andy was chatting there about... That was one of our licensed students that presented back on the idea of filming the bench. And it just jogs my memory. There's a lad, Gareth Smith, who's a Scottish lad on our A licence, and he was over there. He's very well thought of. He's on the staff at United Soccer Coaches. I'm probably going to do Gareth a disservice here, but I think he might be assistant national team manager with British Virgin Islands. Incredible where... Scottish guys end up. So he's out there doing a lot of good work, and he decided during his kind of track over the 3 days to go away and look at periodisation. So we said, listen, if you're not going to travel back on that day, you're going to miss some of the fitness work we do on the A-licence course. So he went away and he came back with this model, or the findings that there's actually five models about periodization. So he not only managed to sit in one or two lectures, he managed to sit in five different lectures on periodization and come back with this kind of oversight that what I've now deduced is that there's five different models and kind of spelled each of these models out about periodization. And you know, Chelsea might use this one, and Real Madrid use this one, and Boca Juniors use this one. It's just like, wow, wow. So that's I mean, that's a level of information that's available.
I'm sure, Brian, it's great because it was your first taste of it to get your kind of immediate thoughts. But when we had Ian Barker on the podcast, we were you know, lucky enough to hear from him directly about just the way that it's going over in America and the way that they do things and develop things. So when you get a first taste of that, it must, you know, really show you the way that they're going about things over there.
It's certainly structured. You know, there's a great structure there, and there's a real, I think there's a real desire to do well, which I think you need in any walk of life. There's a real desire. Can we pick up more? Can we make this better for all our players? And to be fair, that's, if that's your mindset for any coach that's listening to this just now, if you've got a desire to make sure you can achieve everything you can personally, but it's not for you, it's for the players. And I thought that I'd get that for the 3 or 4 days. Everybody sat there, we're wanting to become better, but not for you. It's so you can create the best environment, if you want to call it, but the best environment for the players. So when Greg's talking about the periodisation, that's became this big thing in football over the last probably 10 or 15 years. I mean, you've got one of the guys that's away studying that. That's when I'm learning as a coach, because then you think, could I take some of this back to performance schools? Could we do something else with squads? So then you're, as a coach, I'm always writing, scribbling stuff down, because I want to become better, but ultimately, what one thing can I take back that's going to make our performance schools better and our Scotland national squads better? And ultimately, we will share that back here as we share everything with our clubs back here. Because ultimately, that's the foundation of our game, and that's professional clubs and our grassroots clubs. We will share everything we possibly get. And that's why we're there. That's why we're there.
And it's great for us having a kind of fresh set of eyes, if we can call Brian that, Andy and I, from, you know, from a kind of coach education perspective, for Andy and I, because we're sitting back at things, listening to stuff, trying to understand and comprehend all this information that's coming, and he's kicking the back of our chairs saying, you need to get that in, coach ed, you need to get it. We're thinking, aye, great, great. We're maybe thinking we do it or we don't do enough of it, and Brian's kind of just re-emphasising that to us, that, you know, in coach education, we do need to do more of that. And it's as I keep talking about, it's just that ongoing.
The other bit for me is the professionalism of everything they do, and they have that real desire to be as professional as they possibly can. Now, that also includes probably the volunteer coach or the part-time coach. So it doesn't just need to be the guy or the girl who's full-time in a university or whatever. You've got other people there who are as passionate about being as professional as they possibly can as somebody who is full-time. And I think that whole planning level of detail comes across to me in abundance. So that's something that sticks with me, that you see.
That's even right down to the timing, but Andy, isn't it? It's like you're getting a lecture theatre at 9 o'clock, but you know you've got to be out there by 10. You can't run over because someone starts at 10:15.
And that's difficult for you.
That's very difficult for me. I'll be honest, I was still there the second day, I was still talking, there's nobody in the room, it was just me, but I thought it was great. But it's just, and you're right, the volunteers are in and you're clearing your room very quickly to get it ready for the next one, because the timing needs to be absolutely perfect for this event to run.
I think to give Brian and Malky and Andy credit as well, you know, the convention, I always liken it to a music festival. If you ever go to, if I went to Tina Park or Glastonbury or anything like that, you can decide what you want to go to at any point in time. Yeah. So it's always good. I remember, you know, talking to people previously that maybe presented at the convention, and they said, don't be scared. People will walk out halfway through your presentation because they're then going to see someone else. But I think our retainment rate was actually quite good. So everything that we presented on, I think you maybe lost 2 or 3, Brian.
We did a laugh at that, actually, didn't we? We did have a laugh at that because we were sitting at the back. Now, I've never experienced that before.
You start to get a wee bit nervous when one of
you You're nervous. Yeah. Hopefully they stay. I've lost the room.
But he's got a 10-minute walk because he wants to go and see something else, another wing. You know, it's incredible. The scope of it's just...
So it's Glastonbury for coaches,
exactly.
Basically.
There you go. There's an analogy.
That's a great analogy. But joking aside, we are talking about that difference. But, I mean, when there is so much on offer, that would be a challenge to keep people engaged. So the fact that you've managed to do that out there must be something that you can then take that back with you and go, right, we're self-feedback, we're doing this right, we're doing that right.
fortunate that one of our licensed participants, another, is a guy called Nathan Williams. Nathan's on our e-licence at this point in time, and again, one of Ian Barker's staff on kind of coach education courses there in America. And Nathan kind of gave us a little tip, and he said, you've got to give lots of information quickly rather than a 1 hour talk that might meander into different things. And I think that's what we're quite good at. And I've spoke about that in previous podcasts with you, Lewis, about, you know, the better learning environment. And we've all touched on it here, that kind of interactivity as well, which helps rather than just that 1 hour lecture that might be about one big thing. But I think what we did quite well over there to give ourselves a pat on the back is there's lots of information over you know, shorter bursts of time to kind of keep the interest.
When you're in it, because you do get time to have those conversations, whether it's part of that social environment or whether it's the meeting afterwards. So Nathan's a good example, who reaffirms, I think, to us, and we had that conversation about coach education, and just a simple thing like an intervention that a coach may have within a training session, and the process that we've almost developed that we think is a good way. It's not the only way, but it's a good way of having an intervention. Nathan's reaffirming that and saying this is absolutely fantastic. You've created a model for an intervention that makes real sense to me, and I can now apply within my coaching. So you might not always necessarily get that in the context of the coach education course, but when you get a bit more chance to discuss and debate, and he's had a chance to try it out back at his club or his university, it makes sense. And that, even little things like that, I think for us are good, because those are things that are important to the course.
It's an acid test for us to see, you know, is our course curriculum and what we're delivering on the courses, is it working? You know, and we've got to get that feedback from our participants.
Yeah, and it must be such a big cultural difference between the two, but there's a lot of similarities as well, Brian, did you see?
I think the biggest similarities is they're desperate to become better as we are as a nation. You know, I think
probably frustration from them, isn't there?
I think someone, one of the talks that we've done, I was talking about how, in my opinion, Scotland, we used to have this real identity as a country in terms of a style. And I think over the last, you know, I don't know, 10, 20 years, we've maybe went away from that. And I think it's important now that we're now trying to grab that back.
Yeah.
Get that, what were we really good at, and then build on what we're really good at and bring it really back and be proud of that. And some of the American coaches at the time were asking, say, well, that's interesting, you think you've had it, you've probably lost, now you try to get it back. Whereas in America, they're probably trying to create their first identity. Yeah. They never had, according to them, they never really had one. And we had a great debate about, is it easier to try and create a new one, or is it easy to try and, you know, get your first one back? And there was no answer given to that one. there was nothing short about that answer, but it was a brilliant discussion.
Yeah.
But they're the same as us. They want to become better, and they're obsessed with this sport.
Yeah. Do you think that's why it's so important, Andy, to not only have this presence out there, but as you touched on, it grow and get bigger as we move forward?
I think it will grow again. I think all the conversations we've had suggest that it will grow. So if we go to Chicago last year and the presence we had, which was good, and we almost dipped our toe in the water, to this year where we've been more engaged, we've delivered more, a CPD event, the three forums, we've had the A and B licence tracker, we've had a number of meetings, we're starting to become a much more central part of it. I think that can only grow next year. Our ambition is probably to get on the pitch as well, and maybe do a little bit on the pitch to maybe have some better slots that are going to be more able for coaches to come in and see what we've got to say. So I would definitely see us growing that opportunity, and things like the CPD event, I think there can be more coaches now might want to attend that because they know that we've made the commitment. And even things like being able to advertise more in advance, I think we'll be able to do. Coaches will now realise that I don't necessarily need to travel all the way to Scotland to do my CPD. Actually, I can plan to go to the next convention and I'll get 7 hours of CPD or more, depending on what they attend. And I think that's a hugely important part for it. So, yeah, it's a big part of our plans to kind of be involved and stay involved and do more.
You must agree with that and echo those statements.
Absolutely. And another one we've not touched on yet, and I would like to touch on, is this. So the USC, they have all their coaching, they work in collaboration with University of Delaware and deliver what they call a master coach course. Yeah. So the Master Coach course takes place, I think, over 8 months. It's almost, the best way I can describe it is it's almost like a mini pro license for us. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not so much about their on the field coaching, it's about what they do off the field and how to get better as people in terms of leadership skills, developing, you know, environments like Brian's touched on, and different things like that. So through our kind of collaborative work with USC in recent years, we're, and had some meetings last week, we're going to now host the first week of that for them at Orium in June. So just before the Euros kicks off, we'll host a week of that. So they'll come over and we'll work in collaboration with both USC and University of Delaware. And, you know, maybe like some Brian, Andy, Malky and other guys like that will present to that course. So again, we've got that kind of collaborative learning, if you like. But, you know, I was pleased to hear that because of this new approach, they've already received more applicants this year for the course because we've maybe added this to it than they did in the whole of last year. So still a couple of months left, and if there's anyone out there in America, I suppose, interested, it'd be great to see them on that Master Coach course, which, as I say, kicks off in June. So that in itself, as they start in June, I suppose something that we maybe now need to be part of next January at the convention is they present their final thesis from the Master Coach. So they then present that final thesis to get their final grading at the convention next year, as they do all their studies. And well, we're fortunate enough this year to be along at the graduation ceremony for that as well. So it will get bigger.
Yeah, which is the goal at the end of the day. But that's hugely exciting, isn't it, to think of where it could potentially be going in the future, Andy?
There is. You always find there's new avenues each time you go. Yeah. And obviously, you can only take so many of them forward. So the University of Delaware, great example of one that we can start to develop. A resource implication is obviously a big part of that, and how much more we can do, we'll just need to kind of see. Definitely the presence that we have next year will be more, the CPD, but I think in addition to that, that link and groups being part of Scotland and being part of the Scottish FA process and programme is one that we see growing all the time, Greg, without a shadow of a doubt. And even being there, that last group that came and attended Scotland in December, I think it was. The interesting thing was that the feedback from that group was really, really powerful, very, very strong. Ian himself and some of the other coaches that attended it. So that's a good test for us and a good checkpoint to see that what we're doing is working and it's having an impact and benefiting people by being involved.
I think it's good as well. Brian mentioned the three practical areas or pitches earlier on as well, and even from a Scottish perspective. You know, I'm quite proud to see Mark Spalding, for example, you know, delivering a session, you know, Willie McNabb from Celtic. So they might not be wearing the Scottish FA badge, but they're out there working in America, they're Scottish, and they're out there kind of flying the flag almost as well, which is brilliant to see.
That's the goal, ultimately, at the end of the day, isn't it? And Brian, I'm sure we talked about what it was like during it and trying to get everything in. When it all wrapped up, and you sat back, took a deep breath, gathered yourself. What were your leaving thoughts? What did you take away from it all?
Excitement. Yeah. It really was. I think we probably debriefed every day we were there. We probably debriefed that night just to find out, did we do enough that day? Were we on point with our messages? Did we deliver properly? Because, again, we were quite critical of each other, actually, at night as well. You know, did we make sure we deliver properly? Which is what we do to push each other.
Of course, you have to.
To push each other, which actually was good. But certainly at the end of it then, for me, it was excitement, you know, excitement in terms of, okay, opportunity to do this, opportunity to do that. I think now Andy and Greg probably now need to start thinking about a plan, a proper plan that we can still manage to deliver the quality that our brand deserves. Because this could run away from me, because the excitement was there. The excitement was there and the demand was there for it. But for me, it was without doubt, I thoroughly enjoyed it, but for me, it was excitement to see what we could go next with this.
And your role, Andy, when you come back from that, what are the next steps that you take from it? Obviously, we can take these bits here, there, and everywhere that you want to instigate, but what do you do?
Yeah, there's probably two things. One is, what have we picked up and how do we apply that? The second part of that is then seeing the success and debriefing, as Brian talked about, which we always do. And sitting down with Greg and saying, right, what does next year look like? Mm-hmm. Earlier now, which is good, so that we can have a much better plan. And then starting to work out, what does that look like? So it was great to have Brian, it was great to have Malky, and the input that we had from there, what we need to do is build a plan as to what does the next CPD event look like, what do future forums look like. That's over there. And then in the context of in Scotland, what are the things that we need to plan for? And to be fair, some of those are already in place, you know. So Greg talked about it, University of Delaware will be here later this year. There'll be a group in December later this year. So there's already things in place that, that we can start to plan and start to ensure we're ready for, which is exciting.
Other than taking me across for a podcast next year, Greg, what's
there's a podcast row, as Andy touched on. There's a,
exactly.
There's a podcast row, so they're covered.
Well, next steps, Greg?
It's as Andy said, but it's and Brian, you know, they've both talked about excitement and how it will grow. But for me, there's always, as we go through a period just now of kind of starting to plan and prepare for what are probably our biggest courses in the B&A licence that we deliver over May and June. The amount of applicants we get from foreign coaches, American-based coaches perhaps, that will probably want to come and attend. Now, these guys might have travelled on their own, but we've talked about working collaboratively with groups. But there's also people that just buy a plane ticket and come over here to do a Scottish FAC licence in the first instance and then move on to a UFAB licence. And it's those little groups of people that we need to try and, for me, bring back together and meet at either back at the convention and put that kind of time and effort back into them as they've showed us and kind of reciprocate that and get over there and help them out with their CPD and help them out with just, I think just being in touch. I think as Andy said earlier, just that, just being a person and just being able to be there for them, support them, and we might not be able to help, but you know, we might just be an ear and we'll learn more about that environment that they deal with over in America. We're learning all the time about the, you know, the college structures over there. Yeah. Still quite difficult, the draft system and things like that to get your head around. But I could go on all day, Lewis, about how, you know, about how just the scope and size and everything else.
Notwithstanding the other conversations that we've had that will benefit us. So working with Ian Donnelly at Focus Analysis, working with Phil at Academy Soccer Coach. So those are conversations that we're having over there, although we have relationships here, because they both have a strong presence at the convention. So from us to have those conversations, and what happens is you start to cultivate ideas and start to have some conversations. So as a group of four, because we're in each other's company all the time, and then we're having those conversations, there's a lot of ideas have been stimulated and some new ways of delivering that we can now apply to our coach education courses, which are exciting for this year as well. So there'll be, on the back of this, absolutely some tangible improvements to what we do, because we always want to improve, we always want that little gain, that little bit extra. So the Academy software is excellent, and we'll utilise that more, the Focus Analysis, we will utilise more and get more from it, and that can only benefit coaches that come on our coaches. So that's a little link back to Greg talking about even our main courses that happen in the summer.
And these guys as well, like Ian Donnelly and Phil Abbott that Andy's touched on there, they're great. Ian picked up the phone to me yesterday and said, I forgot to tell you, I saw such and such present. You know, he was fortunate to be walking by one of those lecture rooms. He dropped in and he goes, geez, he'd be great on the guy's A-licence course. I must tell Greg, he must try and get her over. I don't even know if the girl was, I think he said she was English anyway, so she's in the UK, but she's over there presenting. So it's just trying to, I suppose, at the end of the day, provide the best product for our coaches to learn.
So I think you made the point, Andy. It's one thing actually having that presence there, but also to send you guys over in our performance director, Malky, actually physically be out there is a massive thing for these folk. We've not even really touched on Malky all that much, but he must have been in his element out there.
Without a doubt. And I think that was recognised by people over there, and it was almost a wow moment for some people to say, is that such and such, is that Malky, is that Bright? You know, so that was big. Not me and Greg maybe so much, but
I don't recognise you since you lost your hair, Brian.
But that did come across. So you know, the profile of people that we were able to take, and I think again they appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean we mentioned this at the start of the podcast. We knew we weren't going to get through everything. It was impossible. You didn't even get through everything while you were out there, so we can't expect to have got through it all, but generally, it sounded overall like it was a tremendous trip, a worthwhile trip. And thank you very much, all of you, for sitting down and sharing it with me. It was a pleasure to listen to.
Thank you, thanks Lewis.
Thank you, thanks.
That's all we have time for in this week's edition of the Scottish Football Coaching Podcast. Feel free to send us your feedback, your ideas for coaching topics you want us to cover, and to get in touch, visit @ScottishFA on Twitter or email info@scottishfa.co.uk.